Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Along with Jimmy Smith, publisher of TigerDetails.com, I'm Christian Garrick. Jimmy's filling in today for Herb Tyler, and it's a great honor for Herb today. He's going to be an honorary team captain, Jimmy, and we're happy for Herb being able to be recognized by LSU and his accomplishments when he was a quarterback at LSU.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something we'll never be able to experience.
Right. So, and that's why, when if you know Herb like you know him and I know him, he's very committed to, when he commits to something like this radio show, he was hesitant about doing it. And I was like, Herb, you better do it. Are you kidding
me? Yeah, this is once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and this is possibly his last moment to shine.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's been a while since he's had the cleats on, and to be able to stand in front of 100,000 fans and be recognized for all that he did for the program. I mean, he was part of those transitional years for LSU, right? I mean, that stretch under Herb Tyler and Jerry DiNardo, I mean, that was kind of the stretch where LSU started to take the turn, started to get some of the top recruits in the state, and from there it became Saban's team and so on. So good for Herb. Happy to sit in the seat and honored.
We're glad to have you, and we're glad to be at Drago's here on Constitution in Baton Rouge. What a magnificent restaurant this is, a beautiful one. About 2.5 years old, they opened this store right before the pandemic in February, and then in March the pandemic happened. But, man, it's a beautiful store. Come on out and hang out here with Jimmy and I. We're here till 4:30. Over to Texas and Austin, 17-16 Alabama surviving so far against the Longhorns. And, Jimmy, here's where I stand on this game. First off, Texas was in the red zone early in the fourth quarter, had to settle for a field goal. Alabama went right down the field on their next possession and scored a touchdown. And they lead. They have the ball right now in about 4 minutes and some change left on the clock in the fourth quarter. But here's where I stand. This is still a win-win from my standpoint because I love Gump tiers. I certainly love UT tiers as well.
Yeah.
So you're going to see either one of those make me happy.
I think you'll see both. Alabama fans aren't going to be happy with this win. If they pull this game out, they're not going to be happy. You know, this is an extremely confident fan base, and rightfully so. I mean, this team's won about everything you can win over the last decade, but they aren't going to be pleased with this. And I was talking to Ron Higgins earlier, and Ron was saying this is the first time he's watched Alabama in years and thought there's some serious holes in this team.
Wow.
And he just doesn't know if this team will be able to bounce back, whether they win or not. Is this the number one team in the country? I mean, they haven't been able to guard Texas all day. Texas is wide receivers are having the way with the secondary. There's some offensive line issues at Alabama. They don't have a deep passing game. I mean, these are things that we thought, you know, were staples in that program.
Sure.
They have a great offensive line. They always have vertical threats in the passing game. Nick Saban is basically the de facto defensive backs coach at Alabama year in and year out. And meanwhile,
he has not been happy today, man.
Oh, I bet not. I bet not. And that new extension he got, I wonder if he's thinking twice about it. Probably not with all the zeros in that check.
Yeah. Also, if you had coin on Texas to cover the 20-point spread, you can cash your ticket. You're not losing that bet. You may lose the game if you're a Longhorn fan, but you're not losing that bet. That was, if you got in on that action, you're cashing the ticket. The spread was 20. Right now it's 17-16 in the fourth quarter. Challenge here. So we'll keep you updated on the number one team in the country in Alabama. They're on the ropes, taking everything they can, or everything that Texas can deliver right now at 17-16. Getting started on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Jimmy Smith, Christian Garrick, our Oakland Heart Jewelers. Talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. Jimmy, last Sunday didn't go the way LSU wanted it, right? It quickly moved on. They've got Southern tonight in Death Valley. When the sun finds its way, its place in the western sky, it's Saturday night in Death Valley. I would imagine there was a lot of real honesty from Brian Kelly and his staff this week, in particular on special teams. Last week, they had four special teams miscues in a loss to Florida State. And most really good teams don't have four miscues on special teams in a season.
Right. And that was supposed to be one of the staples of Brian Kelly's programs, right? He brings in one of the few coaches that followed him from Notre Dame was Brian Polian as the special teams coach. And they got the transfer punter. You know, you have Malik Nabers back there. You have all these athletes on the field. Everybody just thought this would be a solid special teams unit. And in week one, I think if you were to attribute any phase of the game to that loss, it lays on the shoulders of that special teams unit. The offense struggled throughout the game. They picked things up in the fourth quarter. Their defense, you know, this bend break kind of thing that we saw develop, there were a lot of times Florida State was able to go down the field, but once they got inside the 20, things tightened up. In the end, it was the special teams that really failed them. And I'm curious to see this week. I know he said Malik Nabers will be receiving the punts again. Is there someone else he's going to work into that mix? I saw they made some replacements in the middle of the game last week on protection for that field goal and who
and
they
I question that
personnel.
Though. Why yeah. I question why I understand he made a mistake. They made two players made a mistake, but then you're going to throw somebody else in there that hasn't had probably the reps that the other two had. I think Brian Kelly outsmarted himself a little bit last week.
Christian, the two guys on the left edge protecting for that field goal to win that extra point to win the game were two true freshmen.
Who tied the game?
That would have tied the
yeah.
game. It was two true freshmen. And one of them wasn't in an early enrollee, so that means he's been there 5-6 weeks. And so that's the move you make. I definitely question that call. I don't know if that was Kelly. I don't know if that was Polian. But it was definitely a mistake, right? And it ended up costing him. I was watching it earlier in the game, and I'm like, those splits are bad on that edge. If Florida State brings an extra defender right there, they're going to bust right through. Mm-hmm. And you saw it kick after kick. And when it came crunch time and it was time they had to block that kick, you better believe they saw it on film and said, this is somewhere we can exploit.
They saw it after LSU went down the field with their first opening drive and kicked the field goal. They saw that there was a breakdown in the blocking, and then they schemed it up mm-hmm. In between possessions and made them pay after that. And I know Brian Kelly's going to get second-guessed or has been second-guessed a lot. Should he have gone for two there? He's an analytics guy. He goes by the analytics. I kind of sometimes go by the way Sean Payton used to talk about it all the time. Yeah, analytics tell you some things, but you got to go with your gut sometimes.
Your gut.
You got to go with your gut. And if you're going to be strictly analytics, I don't know that that's going to work out for you. All right, we've said our piece on last week. Southern's in town tonight, LSU and Southern. These two programs have been around, Jimmy, for 100 years or more, and it's the first time they're playing each other.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, these are you know, story programs in their own right. Mm-hmm. And tonight's the first matchup. It's hard to believe.
It's insane. I mean, I don't know exactly how far the two campuses are from each other, but they share the same town. You know, and with all the history, it's kind of mind-boggling if you think about it. I was shocked to hear it. I just assumed at some point, you know, that they almost – I thought they might have had an annual rivalry at some point, at least years ago. Mm-hmm. But to find out that they haven't engaged in a football game against once in a – each other is just mind-boggling to me, and I'm glad we're seeing it now, and hopefully, honestly, this becomes a trend that we see for years to come.
All right, Jimmy, the oysters just hit the table, so we're going to step
away. I see
that.
I'm really distracted. I started stuttering and everything.
All right, we're at Drago's. It's the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Drago's Seafood Restaurant down here at on Constitution in Baton Rouge, getting you set for LSU and Southern tonight at 6:30 right here on the home of the LSU Fighting Tigers, WWL. We got the oysters just hit the table, char-grilled, raw. Mm. They are delicious. Welcome back here to the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, along with Jimmy Smith, publisher at TigerDetails.com. I'm Christian Garrick. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. You got LSU and Southern tonight, but we're keeping a close eye on this game over there in Austin between Texas and Alabama. Alabama leads 17-16 with Texas driving late in the fourth quarter. I'll get you the exact time here in a moment, but under 2 minutes to go. Again, like Jimmy and I talked about earlier, if you put coin on this game for Texas to cover 20 points, you're looking real good right now. You still might win the game. You might win the game and the bet. Yeah, Texas has the ball.
Yeah, and if you're around here, you might as well make it Drago, spend some of that money. Just dripping char-grilled oysters.
They look fantastic.
Oh, they look so good.
17-16, LSU in Southern tonight, 6:30. What are your expectations tonight, Jimmy, for LSU in a bounce-back opportunity?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be tough for them to get up for this game, right? It's a crosstown rival of sorts. I mean, whether they play or not, they're very familiar with the student body over there and the history that program brings. And then coming off the loss last week, you better believe Brian Kelly has challenged his guys. What I think we're going to see today is a coach that's determined to keep his starters on the field for as long as possible. I think if this game gets away from Southern, LSU's still going to have first-team offensive line on the field. I think we're going to get to see some of these other players as
well.
They
need it, quite frankly. They need it.
They need the work. They need to develop some of that continuity that only comes with playing time. So I think we're going to see a real hard-fought effort from LSU today. I think they're going to play for 60 minutes and try to leave this game with a positive note heading into SEC play next week.
LSU favored by 38 points over Southern.
That's a lot of points.
It's a lot for a team that I just watched really struggle the week before.
Yes.
And I got a little action on Southern covering. And you might be saying, oh, Christian, you're crazy. They could be up by 40. LSU could be up by 40. I think Southern gets a cheap touchdown late to cover for you.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely possible. I do think, though, like I told you, man, if LSU's winning by 30 at the end of that third quarter, don't think they aren't going to trot that first-team offensive line back out to start the fourth. Like, they want these guys to play for 60 minutes, and the best way to teach them that is to make them play for 60 minutes. So, LSU's not – I don't think LSU's just going to give them a late touchdown here, my friend.
So you think that I was unwise to – place that bet?
If I was forced into making a bet, I definitely would have taken the points. That's a lot of points to get anyone, especially when you've struggled the week prior. So I would anticipate Southern being able to cover the spread here this week. So, but you just never know.
17-16, Texas just took a sack under
– That's a big sack.
A minute 38. Yeah, I'm trying to find where the ball is spotted. If they're out of – I think they're out of – that sack took them out of field goal range.
They're trotting him on the field.
He's going to attempt a field goal. Well, this is, man, this is college football. Look, and this is a team that in Texas is going to be in the SEC in 2025.
The kicker's name is Burt Auburn.
Burt Auburn?
Auburn. Like, wouldn't it be great for the Auburn kicker? Did he make that? Oh, my gosh.
He made it.
Wow.
Texas on top of Alabama, 19-17, you can hear the cheers in Drago Seafood here.
Our guy Tommy over here,
Tommy's
cheering his heart
away.
Right
pumped
now.
About it. Tommy just said a dozen oysters for the kicker of Texas. Now Bama's got what?
Minute 29.
Minute
Plenty
29.
Time. One timeout. Minute 29. They were able to go down the field a little earlier in this quarter. So this is going to be a tight finish here.
So you told me that there's a rule that if you're playing – University of Texas in Austin, mm-hmm. and you give a horns down sign.
Yes.
That's an actual penalty.
It's a penalty. The amount of whining that took place for them to put that penalty. Is that unbelievable?
I can't believe that. I can't buy that.
Every time I hear it, and I know this for fact. Every time I hear it, I'm still shocked by it. I know when a reporter asked Saban this week about it, it was his first time hearing it, and then he told the reporter, "Well, thanks for informing me." Right. So, but yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, we're not talking about flipping
that.
A bird.
So, like if you did the Gator Chomp, and as an LSU fan in Florida,
no problem,
yeah,
no flag.
That makes no sense.
No flag.
That makes zero sense. All right, we got a really good game today, Alabama and Texas. The Longhorns on top, 19-17, late in the fourth quarter, about a minute and 29 seconds, as I can see it, and Alabama's about to take possession of the ball, down by two. We'll step away and come back. Ron Higgins from TigerDetails.com will join us when we return. It's the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL. Back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Drago's, Constitution Avenue, and Baton Rouge. Jimmy Smith, Christian Garrick here on Tiger Tailgating Saturday. LSU and Southern coming up later on tonight. And we just watched Alabama go down the field. They're in field goal range. Texas took a timeout. It's 19-17 currently. Texas over Alabama. We'll keep you updated on that score. There's literally 5 seconds left. Alabama's about to try a field goal, and once again, Texas kind of iced the kicker. We welcome in now Ron Higgins, columnist for TigerDetails.com, Hall of Famer. How are you, Ron?
I'm good. I'm watching the game. Will Riker just kicked the field goal, but they iced the kicker, so he has to kick it again. This is very tricky for Alabama because they're not used to trying to kick game winning field goals. So nothing's in the bag here. Nothing is in the bag. Here we go again.
Yeah, he's about to try it again. Looks like he got it. Alabama survives Austin. They win 20-19 over Texas.
Crazy, crazy.
This game exposed a lot about Alabama.
Wow.
Really did.
Ron.
Yeah. I can hear you.
In a lot of ways, I mean, explain, though, you've been able to see the whole game. We've been kind of watching intermittently here at Drago's, but just to explain that thought, expand on that thought.
Well, first of all, I mean, Alabama knocked out Texas' starting quarterback, I think, in the first quarter, maybe. Hurt his shoulder. Got flagged for roughing the passer. It wasn't really roughing the passer. It was a clean hit. But he got hurt. They put their backup in. Their backup had a bad ankle the whole game. Texas has been able to hang in because, frankly, anytime they want to throw deep on a guy, they had a guy open deep, or Alabama was finally whistled for pass interference after two or three times when they were grabbing receivers and nothing was ever called, and they start calling it. And Alabama's secondary looked very suspect. The offensive line hasn't been that great. I mean, for instance, Texas got ahead. Was ahead 19-17 because Alabama went for it on fourth and one on the Texas 25, had a fourth and one and didn't get it. And Texas drove back down, kicked the field goal. Alabama really hasn't, there's been a lot of things, eye-opening things today about Alabama. First is their wide receivers aren't very good. They played decently in the fourth quarter, but for most of the game, they dropped balls and they couldn't get open. And the defensive backs really haven't been able to cover anybody who's remotely fast. So, they got some problems. And this wasn't a fluke Texas stand with them. Texas isn't that good, but Texas did all the things necessary to hang right in there with them.
Ron, when you look at LSU and what happened last week and this matchup with Southern tonight, what kind of game are you expecting for a Tiger team that I would imagine is pretty angry?
They're pretty angry, but they should beat Southern like SEC teams beat SWAC schools. The SEC, current SEC schools are 15-0 against current SWAC schools, and one game's by an average of 45 points, and the closest game between SEC and SWAC schools has been 33 points. So I expect LSU to come out, and I know they're a cross-town school, but really – kind of show no mercy on this stuff. Show no mercy. And really execute the offense right off the bat in the first half and play a very a sharp game, at least while the starters are in there for the most part. So that's what they need to do. And if I was LSU, I'd come out and I'd throw deep on the first play to Kayshon Boutte just to show him, okay, we got faith in you. I'm pretty sure you can run past this defensive back. We're going to go deeper regardless whether you catch it or not. It wasn't a great game for Kayshon last week. I think the problem is this offense is trying to get used to a quarterback who, for most of the game, didn't have faith in his offensive line and knew he can get at least 15 to 20 yards when he took off running, whether receivers were open or not. And he probably took off a little bit too quick for – 2.5 scores. Maybe there were the receivers open. The receivers got frustrated. And so I think everybody's trying to get used to Jaden Daniels' style of quarterbacking. And I think Jaden Daniels in the last three drives hung in the pocket and made some really good throws and then got out and ran when he had to run. I think it took him an adjustment too because he didn't have a lot of great faith in the offensive line. And then when you're taking off too quick, your receivers kind of get frustrated because they feel like they're open and they're you know, and they get the ball. So there was a bunch of frustration going on there.
Yeah, the fans, Ron, it's Jimmy. Fans really went after Kayshon Boutte after some of the antics we saw last week, some of the frustration showing itself in various ways. What's really your perspective on that whole situation? Do you think that was a kid that was the competitive side of them, kind of creating that frustration, maybe a kid that's been battling injury for a while, didn't get the targets. Do you think there's something bigger going on? What was your feeling after you saw that transpire? And do you think that there's something bigger brewing here? Or do you think that was just, you know, a competitor getting frustrated in the moment?
I think it was a competitor getting frustrated in the moment. And really for the first time being in a game with Jaden Daniels and not, you know, not being the primary guy almost every throw. I mean, and he was targeted six times, caught two, but they were, you know, sporadic throws here and there. I think it would probably benefit Kayshon to call Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and have those two talk him off the ledge and kind of explain to him, listen, when you're one of the main receivers, there's going to be games where the ball is not thrown to you very much, and the other guys are going to catch a lot of balls. The next game, you're going to catch the balls, and other guys are not catching the balls. You have to understand there's an ebb and flow to being a top target, and you have to live with that and understand that and play, run your routes very hard, even if you're not getting the ball. And I think we saw that with Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase in 2019, where one would have a great game with, you know, 8-9 catches, the other one would have like 3. But there wasn't a frustration there on the guy who had the 3 catches. He'd come back the next game and flip, and he'd have 9. And so I think what we're seeing here is Kayshon needs to grow into the role as the top receiver and understand that he's not going to get the ball all the time. I know he's come back from ankle surgery. That's frustrating too. But he has to take this with a mature attitude and realize, if I'm not getting open, then somebody else must be open and help they're catching the ball. And maybe next game will be me getting open. So I think that's what he needs to learn.
Ron Higgins, columnist at TigerDetails.com, Hall of Famer as well. And Ron, 93% of your offense last week went through Jaden Daniels if you're LSU. That's not sustainable. That has to change. How do they change it?
Well, they change it. I think Jaden has to change it, and the offensive line has to change it. I think the offensive line has to show that they're going to hold up in pass protection and that so he can find receivers and not have to take off and run. I mean, you know, honestly, you're right. It's not sustainable. The first 2.5 quarters
of that
game. Ron's
cutting in and out here.
Can you hear me? The first 2.5 quarters of that game.
Yeah, we got you.
Jaden Daniels looked like a junior high offense. Okay, it's not open. I'm just taking off. I think if the offensive line blocks well and Jaden Daniels gets that trust from the very beginning of the offensive line and balances out the offense where there's throwing and he's just not taking off and running, it'll be much better for everybody involved. And because Jaden Daniels was in foreign territory last week, where he never maybe had all the receivers at Arizona State that he could throw to at LSU, he would take off and run at the first sign of trouble for the first 2.5 quarters. And finally, when he settled in, I think that's when you saw more of what LSU offense wants to be like. And hopefully they'll carry that over for this game. They should carry over for this game and then, you know, move on to Mississippi State.
Ron, there were quite a few things last week that were, I'd say, somewhat surprising, maybe even shocking. But I think the most surprising thing for me was going back and watching the game. I only counted 16 design run calls by the LSU staff. And I didn't think that'd be the game plan. I thought we'd see a real balance here, maybe even run heavy, especially with Jaden Daniels and his reputation as not being able to go through his progressions and some of the things that have been he's been labeled as. I mean, were you surprised by that? And do you think that's something we see change, or is that possibly here to stay under Brian Kelly and Mike Denbrock, who historically are known to really focus on the running game?
Yeah, historically it's been a very close pass-run balance. You know, usually 52-48 or, you know, somewhere right in there. I mean, it's been pretty much a balance. I don't know what they saw last week that maybe caused them to, I'm going to say, panic. But I know in the first drive, LSU played 3 different running backs. So they're rotating running backs in there, all 3 of them, a bunch. And I don't know if that's a great idea or they're still trying to look at, you know. Of course, Emory's not back yet. So he'll be back next week, supposedly. So right now, I don't know what they're doing with their running game, because it just seemed like they got off it early, or they were in bad down and distance, or they got nothing from it on first or second down. They kind of shot away from it, or they figured their best play was basically was, you know, Jayden Daniels scrambling for yardage. There weren't that many designed Jayden Daniels runs. Most of them were just, you know, get the hell out of the pocket and get out of here. But I agree. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed from the opening week, and establishing a running game was one of them. I think partly because of this, maybe even the coaches lost faith in the offensive line the way they played during the course of that game, and just decided we're just going to, especially when it got down to seven. I guess we got to 17-3. They felt they had to really hurry up and get points, but for the first 2.5 quarters, they didn't go to it much at all.
Ron Higgins from TigerDetails.com. And Ron, tonight, if you're Brian Kelly, give me 3 goals you want to see accomplished.
I want to see a balanced offense with an offensive line that is opening holes and protecting the passer so well that Jayden Daniels hardly ever feels the need to take off and scramble. So you can run more of a normal, balanced offense that's sustainable. I definitely want to see a kicking game that whoever that back they have a punt return, let's catch the ball. You know, let's not fumble the ball. And I want to see Kayshon Boutte get loose and have a good game. I think he needs it just for a confidence standpoint. LSU needs to put up, I think we're doing well to put up 45 or 50 points. It's doable on this team. Most SEC schools have done that against SWAC teams, and I think LSU needs to have, from their starters, they need a very strong 2.5 quarters. A very strong 2.5 quarters, and then turn it over to the reserves and let them play the last quarter and a half. But they need a very strong 2.5 quarters of good execution, good blocking up front, and an offense that really kind of rolls downfield and scores on almost every possession. Sort of like Georgia did against Oregon. LSU needs to come out offensively and really show out.
Ron, you've covered, decades of college football. You've seen a lot of coaching changes. You've covered a lot of different schools, too, and fan bases from those schools. So last week, when I'm watching the game, and you see some of the undisciplined plays, the launching by Allie Gay and the errors you have on special teams and the bad snap and all these type things, these typically are things you would attribute to coaching. But we all know it's Brian Kelly's first game at LSU. What kind of leash does he have? What kind of slack is he going to be given here? Or should he be given? At what point do we say these are errors that Brian Kelly's responsible for and maybe not carry over effects from Ed Orgeron?
Well, I think if they're still doing the same things 3 or 4 games into it, you worry about it. As far as the center staff, this is something that he addressed in the preseason with Dellinger. He addressed that. He thought he had it cleared up and didn't. The kicking game, that was, I don't understand why he went to Malik Nabers. He never before returned punts. And you got guys on that team who were brilliant punt returners in high school, Sage Ryan for one. So Brian Kelly, took the blame for that, said, I'm the one who chose him. I'm going to put him back out there. It's on me. So we'll see if that's corrected this week. You want to see if this team correct mistakes and get better. That's how you keep a fan base off the coach's rear end. It's one reason Orgeron got fired, because they never corrected any mistakes. It got worse and worse and worse. And with a new coach, you expect you start at ground zero and you lay a foundation and you get better and better and better. So things need to get considerably better this week and need to progress throughout the year. Clean up the little things that are going on right now. And so, again, after the first game, they almost pulled out a game they didn't deserve to win. I would have gone for 2. That's just me. My offense is on fire. I'm going to go for 2 and take my chances. But here we go, the second game. They need to step it up big and put some points up, good execution in every phase of the game. I mean, they need to beat a SWAC team like SEC teams beat SWAC teams.
Ron Higgins, TigerDetails.com columnist. Thank you so much, Ron. I always look forward to your insight.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great Saturday.
Thank you, Ron. All right, this is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, live from Drago's Seafood Restaurant down here in Baton Rouge. Come out and hang out with us. Come get some of these fantastic oysters. This is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL. Jimmy, you know you made it when you got the voice guy calling your name.
Yeah, before yours, too. I noticed that. Jimmy Smith and Christian Garrick. I was like, the sidekick,
okay.
Brother.
To our Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text lines we go. Danny on line one. Go ahead, Danny. You're on WWL.
Hey, guys. You said that you were watching that Texas game in and out. I watched the whole thing. And if I'm Sarkisian, I'm writing whatever conference those officials came from. That was horrible. Texas was robbed because that was a safety. I mean, making a bad call is one thing, but when you make a bad call that takes points off the board and affects the game like that, that was horrible. That was a safety. There was no roughing the passer call. They even admitted that there shouldn't have been a
flag on that. I didn't see it because I was on my way here. Yeah. But I've seen it on social media.
And they gave Bama the ball still with fourth down. So you're talking, not only do you get the points on safety, you also have Bama kicking to Texas. So, I mean, that's just horrible, man. That was total robbery by those officials. And the only way that Bama could stop Texas on pass plays was by holding and face mask. It was horrible, man. And also the running plays. I mean, there were guys that were face masked, and they weren't even calling. It was so blatant and obvious. They showed it on the screen after, and the Texas fans were booing. It was just horrible, man. Bama gets away with so much, it's unreal.
That's my feeling, right? I'm not into referee conspiracies all the time, but I feel like if there's one team that always seems to get the benefit of the calls, it's Alabama. On my way here, I received a call from a good friend who was saying the same exact things you just said. The safety call being overturned, constant holding and pass interference and face mask late in the game that were blatant and uncalled. And it's just kind of remarkable when you see – remember 10, 12 years ago when they were marking the ball on the Alabama sideline and the Alabama coaches were basically telling them, like, move it up
here.
And then he picked up the ball and moved it.
Yeah.
I've also seen Alabama when the chains came out. The chains, they were short of a first down by like four links in the chain, and the referee instantly signaled first down, and the drive continued. It's remarkable to see that play out game after game, week after week. I'm not into referee conspiracies, but at some point, I think this needs to be addressed. It's kind of remarkable to see it happen so many times.
Well, LSU fans can relate. Certainly so can Saints fans on poor officiating, and it's something that it's too high stakes, Jimmy, for it not to be addressed. I mean, some of these coaches now, Steve Sarkisian is not going to lose his job based on that. But what if he did? What if he ended up winning and what that would do for that program at Texas?
Right.
You know, and he's just getting started there. And what if it was a call that ended up costing because of the loss and a university president going, tough, I got to move on. And there's too much at stake.
It just changes the whole complex of the season for the whole league.
Yeah.
For everyone in the one team in the country. If they won and some bad calls went their way, you just altered the entire season possibly, right, for everyone involved. So I don't like the limited replays in college. I don't like the way – I feel like if there's a blatant face mask call and the refs miss it, but somebody in the booth sees it, shouldn't that be able to come down?
I mean, I know you're
tinkering with the game a lot. But
they
would argue
that's going to slow the game down. As a fan, I want to just get it right.
Get it right.
Just get it right. Give me the best product. Give me the results. You know, if you slow it down, I'm still going to be there. If you slow the game 20 minutes, by 20 minutes, I'm still going to be there because I'm dedicated to it. I'm a junkie with college and pro football.
Right. You said it right. Just get it right.
Jimmy Smith, Christian Garrick here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show at Drago's in Baton Rouge on Constitution Avenue. This is WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.